Biff, had shaved his head in tribute to my brother. Just as I started to get a mental grasp on this, everyone else reached for their hats too. At a signal from Annette, who was standing with Renee by the piano, they all whipped off their hats as well. My mom was the only person in the room with hair long enough to comb. I flashed back to Annette and Renee's matching super short dos, and suddenly, it all made sense. Suddenly, too, I had a huge lump in my throat. Jeffrey was running all over the room, hugging everyone, rubbing players' heads for good luck, and my mom was standing there next to Mr. Watrous, whose natural baldness had excused him from the pre-show razoring festivities. There were unquestionably tears welling up in her eyes, but she also looked happy. Honestly, when I saw that look on my mom's face, I practically ran over to Biff and hugged him myself. We hung out for a while. Jeffrey ran up to me and buried his head in my stomach. I sort of wrestled free. He looked right up into my eyes and whispered, "You're the best drummer in the world." Then my mom started walking out with him so they could find their reserved front and center seats in the auditorium. When she pulled open the door, my dad almost fell into the room. He had made it after all. When he saw the room full of bare scalps, though, he immediately got kind of a grim facial expression. He gave me a little half wave, mumbled, "Good luck," and wheeled right back around to lead my mom and Jeffrey to their seats. Mr. Watrous gathered us all around, gave us a big pep talk, and led us downstairs onto the stage. The curtain was closed, so we had a few minutes to set up before everyone would see us. We all busied ourselves with the little things musicians do right before they play, testing spit valves, applying last-minute drops of valve oil, checking the lugs on the snare drum and the height of a cymbal. In short order, we were ready. I was nervous, but glad that the big night was about to get started. I sat down behind the drum kit. I was playing set for the first tune. Adjusted the sheet music on its stand, wiped my hands on a grubby little towel I always kept in my stick bag just for that purpose, and took a deep breath. Mr. Watrous tapped his baton on the podium. The curtain opened. When the shiny heads of the entire band became visible in the stage lights, the audience was dead silent. Then, as they began to realize what they were seeing, I could hear a buzz of whispers, then gasps, and then a slow-building crescendo of applause. Before we even played a note, we got a standing ovation. Mr. Watrous let the applause rise, then fall a bit, and then, bam! He counted us right into the first tune, Mambo No. 5 by Louis Prima. I don't really remember playing a single note of the first five or six songs. I can only recall the nonstop swell of emotion that we were all feeling. The band, Mr. Watrous, the audience, and I hoped, Jeffrey. Every song went better than the one before. Every solo got hotter and hotter, more and more beautiful. The fast numbers were a riot of energy, and the ballads put the entire place into some kind of powerful, floating dream state. I've never experienced anything like it, but I knew that the entire point of playing music was to hope that once in a while, you could bring this feeling to an audience of people. When the curtain closed for intermission, the place went up again. It was great. We all took our time on stage getting our instruments squared away, slapping fives, rubbing heads, weird sensation, by the way, and just basking in the success of the first set. Then, Mr. W. told us to go back up to the band room to get drinks, hit the restrooms, and relax for a little while. I set up the congas at the height I liked. I was tired and thirsty, but I couldn't wait to come back down and play the Latin pieces I had been sweating over all year. Brian tapped me on the shoulder and gestured with his thumb toward the stairs. We walked up. At the top of the steps, just outside of the band room, my mom was having what looked like an intense discussion with Mr. Stoll. Maybe even a discussion. She turned to me with the alarming, fake sweet smile she only uses when she's got me totally busted for something. In the syrupy voice that always goes with the smile, she spoke to me, "You're playing very well tonight, Stephen." "Thanks, Mom." "Very well. Thanks again. Especially for a kid who hasn't paid for a drum lesson in over a month." "Ouch." Then she surprised me, Mr. Stoll, and possibly even herself by grabbing me up in a bear hug. "You are a wonderful son and a wonderful man." Yet another parent busting forth with the man thing. I'd have to check my chest for signs of hair when I got home. Mr. Stoll broke the moment by pounding me on the shoulder. "You are rocking the joint, kiddo. I love the big triplet fill and satin doll, and your four-limb independence is really coming along. I can't wait to hear the Dizzy Gillespie tune. Then Mr. W. called all the band members into the room, so I thanked Mr. Stoll and hurried in. My dad and Jeffrey were there. Mr. Watrous got everyone quiet and then gestured to my dad. Evidently, and I couldn't believe this, my father wanted to address the band. He cleared his throat twice, paused for a long, uncomfortable moment, then spoke.